I read in Oswald Chambers' daily devotional, My Utmost for His Highest, the following. Not very often, but every once in a while, God brings us to a major turning point, a great crossroads in our life. From that point on, we either go towards a more and more slow, lazy, and useless Christian life, or we become more and more on fire, giving our utmost for His highest, our best for His glory. Perhaps in the closing days of 2018, you are at such a crossroads. Only you can decide what direction that you are going to take. Several months back, I recorded in my journal a quote by Neil Kennedy, a pastor who writes about leadership, a Facebook friend. He posted this quote, and I wrote it down. He said, "Your life does not get better by chance. It gets better by change." Short time later, I decided to add some of my own thoughts to his, and I wrote in my journal, "A year from now, will you look back and say, I'm glad I did, or I wish I had?" I have one more Christmas message to share with you. The account we will look at did not occur leading up to Christmas or Christmas Day, but 40 days later. It's the last glimpse we get into the childhood of Jesus for 12 years. I've titled today's message, Living Prophetically. Living Prophetically. I believe that our time of praise and worship, as well as the vocal gifts of the Holy Spirit that we believe are still for the church today, helped prepare our hearts and our minds for God's Word. If you'll turn with me to the Gospel of Luke chapter 2, I'm going to begin reading with verse 22. You can follow along in your Bibles or your device, or we also have the scripture on the screen. Again, Luke chapter 2, verse 22. When the time came for purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him, or Jesus, to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was a righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." Now, I'm going to continue reading here, although I won't have time to really to speak and to address Anna, the prophetess Anna, but I want you to see what happened at the end of this encounter that Joseph and Mary and Jesus had with Simeon. It said, "There was also a prophet Anna, the daughter of Penuel from the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. And by the way, that's a very old age at this particular time. She never left the temple but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." I love this sort of postscript to the Christmas story. In it, I believe that we discover some directional arrows for the changes we may need to make in order to live prophetically. Let me set the context for you. Five times in this passage, Luke mentions that Jesus' parents acted according to the law. As a Jewish boy, he would have been circumcised 8 days after his birth. And then according to Leviticus chapter 12, a woman is unclean for 7 days. And after 40 days, she is to go to the temple for purification rites. The ritual of cleansing includes offering certain sacrifices. The price paid by Joseph and Mary consisted of a pair of doves or two young pigeons. This was the offering prescribed for a poor person, according to Leviticus chapter 12, verse 8, which says a lot about the family in which Jesus was born into. As I read that, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 came to my mind, where the Apostle Paul writes, "For you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, for your sake he became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich." What Joseph and Mary did on this day at the temple was something that occurred on a regular basis, perhaps even on a daily basis. There may have been multiple couples there on this particular day to present their son or to present their daughters unto the Lord. Even though it was an ordinary event, something very extraordinary took place. We see some characteristics in Simeon as well as Anna that we should emulate if we need to make changes in our life in order to live prophetically. Or as our 2019 church theme expresses it, to exceed the limits. Living prophetically will first lead to faithful living. This is the first characteristic that we see in Simeon. Luke describes him in verse 25 that he was righteous and he was devout, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. This is a description of Israel's hope for the coming Messiah. Simeon literally lived his life looking for this Messiah. One of the traditional prayers, Jewish prayers, is, "May I see the consolation of Israel." Now keep in mind that there was nothing special about Simeon, that he should be the one to recognize the Messiah, that he should have the opportunity to take up Jesus into his arms. As far as we know, he was not a religious leader. He had no credentials. He had no special authority, no special position. But see, his status was not what really mattered. What mattered was his spirituality. He was simply a righteous and devout man who had an incredible close walk with the Holy Spirit. And keep in mind that this event took place 30 years before the day of Pentecost, 30 years before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I dare say that Simeon exceeded the limits of almost every other person in his day. He was an average man, but he was not average. His name means God hears. Two things about Simeon stand out to me in verse 25. First is his right relationship with God. That's what the word righteous means. The word righteous means to have a right relationship with God, and to be devout is to pursue that relationship with all of your heart. God calls you and me to be the same. He calls us to be righteous, to have a right relationship with Him. He calls us to be devout, to pursue that relationship with all of our heart. Listen, every good thing God wants to do in your life will flow from your relationship with Him. Before Calvary, before the Ascension, before Pentecost, Simeon had a vibrant relationship with the Lord. If your relationship with the Lord is not what it should be or what it has been in the past, let me challenge you. In 2019, make your relationship with God your number one priority. A good place to start is to dedicate 5 days a week, 15 minutes in each day, to just a time of personal Bible reading and prayer. Matter of fact, if you're reading through the Bible, it only takes 10 or 12 minutes to do that on a daily basis, to read all the way through the Bible in 1 year. So the average person, about 10 to 12 minutes, have a time of prayer. That's a good starting point to placing your relationship with God first. But don't stay there. Start there. That's the starting line. That's not the finish line. Start there and allow that relationship to continue to grow. Remember, your life does not get better by chance. It gets better by change. If you've not already done so, the best change that you can make is to prioritize your time with God in His Word and in prayer. And speaking of His Word, the second thing that marked Simeon's life there in verse 25 is he was grounded in the Word of God. For Simeon, that would have been the Old Testament. Not the New Testament, it would have been the Old Testament. But in that Old Testament, there were, you can find over 300 prophecies about the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ. And he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Note those three words in the middle of verse 25. He was waiting. Let me ask you in a spiritual sense, what is it that you are waiting for? What is it that you're expecting from God? As you look into a new year, what are you anticipating that God is going to do in your life or in your marriage or your family's life? You know, the biblical meaning of waiting does not mean doing nothing. That's not what it means. It means actively waiting. Waiting doesn't mean just kicking back, but moving forward. Listen to this. We are to rest in the Lord, but never to rust in the Lord. And there's a lot of people that are just rusting in the Lord. We're to rest, but we're never to rust in the Lord. As Simeon waited for Christ's first coming, we should be waiting for His second coming. Two verses before we move on. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10. We are to wait for His Son from heaven, from whom He raised from the dead, Jesus Christ, who rescues us from the coming wrath. As Simeon was waiting for Christ's first coming, we should be waiting for His second coming. Titus chapter 2, verse 13. It says, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Living prophetically, it means living faithfully, in right relationship with God, as Simeon had, and also grounded in the Word of God. The second thing that I see in Simeon is living prophetically will lead to dynamic living. Dynamic living. Be careful lest your faith becomes too cranial. It's just up here. We see in Simeon had a cranial faith. He believed certain things, but his faith was also experiential. God wants us to believe certain things, but there's things He wants to do in us and through us. Simeon's vibrant walk with the Lord prior to the cross, prior to Pentecost. As a matter of fact, when I read this passage in Luke chapter 2, it seems like I should be in the middle of the book of Acts. Not with Jesus still being a child, because what we see Simeon doing are things that we see taking place after the death, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I mean, Simeon literally exceeded the limits at a time when the new covenant was not even in place. But in Simeon's vibrant walk with the Lord, prior to the cross and Pentecost, it was marked by a couple things that I want to share with you. Matter of fact, there's four things that I see here. First of all, anointing. Anointing. Verse 25 says, and the Holy Spirit was on him. The text mentions the influence of the Spirit on Simeon three times. As I look at Simeon's life, he was a man who was taught by the Word of God, he was led by the Spirit of God, and he was obedient to the will of God. Luke tells us that the Holy Spirit was on him. Now later, Jesus taught in John chapter 14, verses 15, 16, and 17, as he's preparing the disciples for his departure, for his death, for his leaving this world. In verses 15, 16, and 17, he says this, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate or another comforter to help you to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. Listen to this, but you know him, for he lives with you, and he will be in you. And so Jesus was looking forward to the day of Pentecost. He was looking forward to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And Simeon lived at a time that the Holy Spirit was on him. But listen, the Holy Spirit was on this man an awful lot. And the Holy Spirit revealed so much to this man. We are blessed beyond Simeon. We have the continual presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. The moment you give your heart and life to Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and indwells you. And He's constantly with you. He doesn't just come on you for a special task or a special time. Now, yes, we will definitely be moved of the Holy Spirit. We'll be led of the Holy Spirit. All these things we see in the New Testament. But the Holy Spirit constantly indwells us. Simeon also not only experienced anointing, he also experienced revelation. Revelation. Listen, if you're going to live prophetically, you're going to experience revelation. Verse 26, it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. What had been revealed to him? Not that the Messiah was going to come. There's 300 prophecies in the Old Testament. That's for everybody. That was revealed to everyone. What had been revealed to him was a very specific, a very personal promise. You see at the last part of verse 26, that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. The Spirit of God revealed that to Simeon. What an incredibly powerful promise. Simeon clung to it. He claimed it. He lived for it. I don't know exactly when it was revealed to him, but at this time, we believe from the text that he was an old man, as Anna was an older woman. So it may have been that it had been a promise he had held onto for months or years or maybe even decades, but that promise was deep in Simeon's heart. It was a very personal promise. Does God give such revelation today? Does the Holy Spirit ever come alongside us and whisper in our ears or whisper in our hearts a very personal promise? Does He do that in the hearts of His children? Listen, I believe that He does. He may not do it every day. He may not do it every year, but I believe the Holy Spirit still comes along and He whispers a promise in our hearts. He did it for Simeon. Not only did Simeon know that Jesus was going to come, that Jesus was coming to the world, the Messiah was coming, but the Lord revealed to him, you're not going to die until you see the Messiah. Listen, if you're walking with the Lord, if you're abiding in His Word, there may be times in your life, there should be times in your life, the Holy Spirit just whispers a promise to you. And you know your spirit's going to bear witness to that. It's never going to violate the Word of God, but your spirit's going to bear witness to that, and you're going to know, this is a promise for me. I can take this to the bank. I can wait upon this. Now listen, if you're a Christian, you might as well get ready to wait. I don't like to wait. I don't like to wait. I don't like to drive in Chicago. I don't like to be backed up in traffic and all of this type of thing. But yet, if you're a Christian, listen, you must learn to wait. Again, not doing nothing, but actively waiting for God to fulfill His promises. Listen to a line that in a prayer that Paul prayed for the believers at Ephesus, verse 17 of Ephesians chapter 1. I keep asking that God, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you may know Him better. I believe that the revelation that was given to Simeon caused him to know the Lord better. I believe it caused him to press. And I just see this man head and shoulders above most people of his day. He was driven by a promise. Imagine Simeon studying the Scriptures and looking at the promises and trying to see when the Messiah would come. And then one day, as he's with the Lord, as he's in prayer, all of a sudden the Lord speaks to him a promise. And you will not die until your eyes have seen the Messiah. Wow. Did he go out and tell everyone about it? No, not a day. He would have been on television programs, radio ministry, books would have been written about it, you know, all kinds of things would have been done. But I don't believe any of that happened. I believe that he simply believed by faith and tucked that promise away in his heart. So if we're to live prophetically, like Simeon, there should be an anointing upon our life. The anointing is the realization of the presence of the Holy Spirit. We should be aware that we are being led of the Holy Spirit. There should be revelation. The Lord's going to show us things. He's going to whisper promises into our lives. And then we see in Simeon a sensitivity. Verse 27, moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. Now, he'd gone to the temple courts on a regular basis, on many occasions. I believe that he was there, and he was likely there even on a daily basis. We know that Anna, it says, never left the temple court. She was constantly there seeking the Lord. But on this particular day, he was moved by the Holy Spirit. He wasn't moved because it was time to go. And let's face it, I doubt seriously everyone in this room today could say, I was moved by the Holy Spirit to come to church this morning. Now, hopefully there are some that fall in that category, but let's face it, some of us, it's Sunday morning, it's time to go to church, and that's a good thing to do. That's not a bad thing, that's not a negative thing. But I believe on this particular day that Simeon was, it went beyond, it's time to go to the temple. He was moved by the Holy Spirit. There was something driving him. There was something compelling him. And the temple, don't picture it as a nearly empty, enormous sanctuary or edifice. This was one of the world's busiest places. It was a religious grand central station. I mean, there were throngs and multitudes of people that were there. And the Spirit directs Simeon into the temple at the exact time Mary and Joseph were there to dedicate, to present their son to the Lord. I see Simeon scanning the masses of people, and then his eyes fall upon a very simple Jewish couple holding a baby. And he knows at that moment, this is the Messiah. Let me ask you, how sensitive are you to the Holy Spirit, to the leading of the Holy Spirit? In your prayer time, your devotional time, is that something you pray, Lord, help me to be sensitive to your Spirit, to the promptings, to the leading of your Holy Spirit? Help me not to miss divine appointments that you may have for me. Simeon was a man who was sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 25 says, "See, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." Not running ahead of the Spirit, not lagging behind, but the goal is that we would keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Listen, if you will cultivate a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, there will be times that you will be moved by the Holy Spirit to pray specifically about a situation, to go to certain places that you may not otherwise go, to say specific things that you may not otherwise say, to give, to meet needs. If you will cultivate a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, listen, your Christian life will become an adventure as the Spirit of God begins to lead you and to guide you and to direct you and to open up doors for you. We learn from Simeon the imperative of sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. Well, there's something else. It may sound unusual. You may see it on your notes there. You've got the word taking there. Well, the other word is risk-taking. It's risk-taking. As Joseph and Mary made their way across the court of women in the temple, an elderly worshiper approached them, perhaps a little more boldly than you would expect a stranger to approach you. Verse 28 says, Simeon took him, who's him? Took Jesus, 40 days old, into his arms. Now we have a bustling nursery and toddler ministry here at Faith Church, so I know we've got parents that are in the sanctuary today of small children, and some of you have had small children. How would you feel if you were at the mall or at Walmart or out in public, and all of a sudden an elderly person who you did not know came and took hold of your child and swept that child out of their arms? Now here, and we make no apology for it. We're concerned not only with the spiritual nurture of your kids, but the safety of your kids. We've got ways you check in and you get a slip, they get a slip, and you don't take any child out of the nursery unless that is your child and you have the slip. And so we're very concerned about the safety of children. And so how would you feel someone you don't even know, likely a very elderly person, came and just swept your child out of your arms? Well, that's exactly what, and that was really a huge risk at that time. And, you know, living prophetically means that there's times that you're going to be taking some risks. Now, you're never at risk. Listen, you're never at risk following the Holy Spirit. You're never at risk following the Holy Spirit. Someone take risk taking in that context, but it's going to push you beyond your comfort zone. I've shared this story before. It's been a long time, or at least it seems like it's been a long time in my memory. I don't know, but we were on a leadership retreat probably 15 years ago. We were in Springfield, Illinois, and our deacons and our elders we were away planning and praying about the future, developing the vision of the church. And we were at a hotel there, and there was a meeting room that we were spending the day in. I woke up very early. Nothing was open in the hotel, so I walked to McDonald's, which was a couple blocks away, and I sat down, ordered coffee, reading the newspaper, having breakfast by myself, and there were just a very few people in McDonald's at that time, and there was a woman who appeared to be a single mom, looked really somewhat like she had just had a rough life. And so I'm reading the newspaper. I happen to look over at her, and I sense at that point the Spirit of God say, "Go and give her $20. Oh, man, how am I going to say that? How am I going to approach her? You know, that's going to be awkward. You know, Rhonda's not here. You know, what am I going to do? And to be honest, at that time, I was thinking, can I really spare $20? You know? So I took the $20, and I went over and did it as discreetly as I could. I just walked by her table, and I had on my hand, I put on the table, and I said, "You know, I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. And there's times that I pray that God leads me to do specific things. And I just really felt like I should give you this $20, and I want you to take it, you know, and just bless you." And she refused to take it. She pushed it back to me, and I said, "No, I just want you to have this. There's no strings attached. I just want you to have this." She pushed it back. I was somewhat embarrassed. I finally took the $20 back, went back to my table. I thought, "God, I just really missed you. I thought I felt like I'd feel misled. You know, since I should go over and do this." It's like the Lord spoke to my heart, "You were obedient to me. You were obedient to me." And sometimes we will take risk, we'll step beyond our comfort zone as the Spirit of God leads us to say certain things to people, to reach out to them, to give to them, to minister to them, to at sometimes even notice them. How many people in our lives we don't even notice? We don't even see them. And we give attention to them. I've learned a lot about sensitivity to my wife. I mean, everywhere she wants to know the waitress's name. We're at McDonald's, or rather at Walmart the other day, being helped with some return things. And let me just give you a hug to the lady who helped us. And I've been able to learn some sensitivity from her. But with that sensitivity, sometimes comes the taking risk. It means at times stepping out in faith, starting what may at first be an uncomfortable conversation, sowing financially into God's work. It means going above and beyond. It means not being average. It means exceeding the limits in your life. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for, assurance of what we do not see." In Simeon, we witness that living prophetically means living faithfully, living dynamically. But there's one more. It means expectant living. Expectant living. With the promised Messiah in his arms, Simeon breaks out into praise. This is considered the fifth and the last of the Christmas songs. You look at the various gospel accounts, there's a Zechariah song, there's Mary's song, there's Joseph's, all these various songs. This is the fifth and last of the Christmas songs. So with Jesus, this infant Jesus in his arms, Mary and Joseph probably somewhat startled, this is what Simeon says, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace." Most commentators take that to believe that Simeon was an old man. And this was the final thing that he wanted to experience, the final thing that he wanted to see. So he said, Lord, you can take me home now if you want to. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations. And listen to what he said in the temple. In the temple, a light for revelation to the Gentiles. I wonder what all those Jewish people thought standing around as Simeon proclaimed that, hey, there's going to be salvation to the Gentiles. You know, as you move into the book of Acts, one of the greatest challenges is the merging of the Gentile and the Jewish Christians and all the challenges that were faced there. Early on, some of the Jewish Christians didn't even think Gentiles could become Christians. And so here in the temple, prophetically, Simeon says, hey, he's going to be a light for the revelation of the Gentiles and the glory of all your people, Israel. You know, I would imagine by this time there's a group around. There's a crowd around. And then all of a sudden, with a very serious and somber tone, Simeon said, I want you to listen carefully. It's interesting that Luke says that he spoke directly to Mary. What he had to say next was directed to Mary. And he goes on to say to her, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and will be a sign that will be spoken against. Now, from what we know, Joseph would not have been around at that time. We believe Joseph died before Jesus began his public ministry. Goes on to say, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And listen to this. He said to her, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. In other words, she was going to suffer as she saw her son being rejected, her son dying upon the cross. And we know that she was there, and Jesus was very concerned about her because he committed her care to John. You know, when you live prophetically, it's marked with a sense of expectancy of what God is going to do next. You know, I don't think it's just the thing to do to think that next year is going to be better than this year. I think if you live prophetically, you believe that. There's a sense of expectancy. And you know, if we're still here, Lord willing, the end of 2019, and we move into 2020, there should be a sense of expectancy of what's going to happen in 2020. And again, it's not, again, just the thing to do or the thing to say. It's what it means to live prophetically. There should always be a sense, what is God going to do next? As you look at your life, as you look at your family, as you look at your marriage, as you look at your finances, as you look at your job, as you look at the Lord's church, there should always be that sense of expectancy. What is God going to do next? Ultimately, we look forward to the culmination of our salvation at His second coming. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8 says, now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but to all who have longed for His appearing. You know, the final verses of this chapter speak of the prophetess Anna. What a description of this 84-year-old woman. Married 7 years, the rest of her life, she was a widow. Just at that point, there's already a crowd of people there. Simeon has Jesus in his arm, and all of a sudden, Anna, this prophetess, appears. And it doesn't say specifically what she says, but she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel. So her voice joined along with Simeon's in prophesying what was going to come about through the life of Jesus, the Messiah. You know, here God comforted four people. Simeon and Anna near the end of their lives. Joseph and Mary at the beginning of a different period in theirs. Maybe you're at a turning point, at a crossroads in your life. I want to challenge you as we look to 2019, like Simeon, to live prophetically, to live faithfully, to live dynamically, to live with a sense of expectancy. Would you bow your heads with me? Lord, we thank you for the powerful example of Simeon. Lord, the example that Simeon gives to us of faithfulness to God, of being devoted to God. Lord, help us to be a people that are faithful to You. Help us to be a people that are devoted to You, in right relationship with You, Lord, and pursuing that relationship with all of our hearts. Lord, help us to live dynamically. Lord, not to live just proportionately to what we think or what we plan, Lord, but help us not to live stagnantly, Lord, the same this year as we, next year as we are this year. But Lord, help us to live dynamically, driven by promise. And Lord, help us to be a people with a sense of expectation of what You are going to do, what You desire to do in us and through us. Would you stand with me? I just feel led as the worship team comes back and they're preparing to lead us. I just feel directed in just a moment to give you the opportunity to come to the altar.